Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And it's a Reaction Monday presented by Coors Light. And if you want to join the conversation, it's 713-572-4610. He's Clint Sterner. I'm Rick Kamla. And three new faces were in the lineup on Sunday. You had Aaron Colvin out. You had Bradley Roby down in the slot. You had Lonnie Johnson on the field a whole lot more. That was one. And then on the offensive line, Titus Howard at left guard and Roger Johnson at right tackle. And we got a lot of elbow room right now. We can unpack all this kind of stuff and talk about all three of these guys. And let's start with slot corner and moving on from Aaron Colvin. Bradley Roby, your guy, absolutely shut down D.D. Westbrook out of the slot. D.D. had one catch for 3 yards on five targets. What a game Bradley Roby played.
Yeah, Bradley Roby's off to a great start. I mean, there's never been a doubt about this dude's ability to play at a high level. I mean, he's a freakishly talented athlete, whether it's running, jumping, it doesn't matter. He's physical. I mean, the one thing that's jumped off the screen for me all year long is his willingness to tackle and his willingness to finish tackles. This dude will straight he will bring the pads, bring the helmet. He brings it when he tackles you. He finishes tackles, and that's just not like most corners in this league. And so it brings us all to the question of, it's just a two-game span now, and the question, the knock on Bradley Roby always has been consistency, right? Can you be the same guy? Can you be an everyday man for 16 weeks, 17 weeks, and into the playoffs? Can you do that? And that's got to be the hurdle for him to get over. And to this point, there's no reason to be disappointed in Bradley Roby. I mean, he has done a hell of a job, not just statistically, but, you know, I think he's just, even when guys have caught balls on Bradley Roby, even back into the preseason, it's had to be a great throw and a better catch in order for them to move the chains or convert the first down and make the catch. I mean, he's been in their hip pockets, and he is not disappointed at all to this point.
So in terms of the consistency conversation, I would submit to you, and we're two games in here, we got a long way to go, but I would submit to you that this is the first time in Bradley Roby's career where he's on a one-year deal. 1 year, $10 million.
Yeah.
It is an experimental move by the Texans, which is going really, really well. And for him, it's a one-year audition to get a big old contract with the Houston Texans or another football team. Well, so I think the urgency to be consistent game in and game out is going to be there more this year than the other years.
Well, look, I mean, and the only way to find that out, Rick, is let the games unfold, right? You got to get eight games deep in this thing and go, okay, he's been consistent. Now he's gotten beat. He's played well. He's done a lot of good things. He's done some things that got to be coached up on. But at the end of the day, you're getting a consistent performance. But again, I think he's played well. And two, this past week, the ability to move into the slot. I think all the conversations that we've had with, whether it's individuals calling into the show or it's at different events or at the game having conversations with guys, the toughest position, like athletically, skill set wise, the toughest position to play in the secondary is slot corner. Every time that receiver comes off the ball, he has a two-way go. And so sticking in that guy's hip pocket is a lot more difficult when you're in the middle of the field and when you're consistently in that slot and you don't have the sideline to use. And so you talk about his value and you talk about him being an experiment and the Texans taking a flyer on this guy. Well, he just made him some money. Assuming he can answer the bell of being consistent, he just made him some money when at the drop of a hat, my dude can go from an outside corner into the slot and put up the numbers that you, or let's be honest, force a receiver into essentially being shut down and not producing for his team. And so, again, two games in, consistency has not been a concern yet. We haven't seen enough yet to know if he's going to be consistent, but he damn sure made some money by being able to play outside and that last weekend proving he can play inside.
And he was a big help in the win over the Jacksonville Jaguars yesterday. Here's Bill O'Brien from earlier today talking about Mr. Roby.
Bradley is a good teammate. He does what we asked him to do, and he went inside, and he's got patience. He's got good ball skills. He's tackled well. So he'll work hard to improve too.
Well, look, he's got an elite skill set. I mean, that's the one thing that, from a coverage standpoint, other than him just being in the hip pocket of the receiver the majority of the time, the one thing that I see is like his ability to toy with receivers. I remember there was a highlight. I may have been sitting next to you yesterday, Rick, at the game, but he's trailing a receiver like literally right in his hip pocket, and he tries to cut from his left hip to his right hip, kind of undercut a crossing route. And he literally stumbles as he's stepping across, and that doesn't disconnect from the receiver. I mean, he's that athletic to where he stumbles, he catches his feet, and speed is not a problem. The ability to accelerate and make up for a misstep is not a problem with Bradley Roby. And so I knew coming in that he was clearly, you could look at his combine numbers for that. Just look at those and you tell you how good of an athlete this dude is.
First round pick.
Yeah, absolutely. And then when you watch him play, the ability to overcome, maybe close a gap. I remember one day watching over at the joint practices with Detroit, he got beat on like a double move. And at first, I shouldn't use it. It looked like he got beat, when in reality, he was almost baiting the quarterback and the receiver into throwing the ball there, because he very quickly made up that gap and was able to knock the ball down. And so his recovery skill is to me what is really has been really, really impressive. That, along with his willingness to tackle and the ability to finish physical when he's tackling, those things right there are just rare for corners. And boy, when you get one that possesses all those skills, man, if he can overcome that consistency issue, damn, he could be a steal of a fine. And he would be a guy to me. I said this to Sean last night. Bradley Roby's a guy to me, and I know the Texans, in the Brian Gain era and even before that, they didn't negotiate in season with players. And those days are done, Clint. They've caught a lot of smoke for that, right?
Nick Martin.
Nick Martin got his week one. I'm telling you, and Nick Martin's a guy that I think that if you ask them, they say, man, we were going to get that done no matter what. In season, off season, he was going to be here. They know him like the back of their hand. Bradley Roby's a guy that you bring in here and you hope he can return to tip-top form. And he's proven to this point that he has. If you go 8 games and you're convinced this guy's going to be consistent for you and bring it every day, this is a guy that I could see the Texans extending fairly quickly, assuming that they inside those doors over there are convinced that from an attitude standpoint and from being an everyday man standpoint, that it's something that's going to last multiple years. I could see them extending this guy. He's played that good to this point.
And here's the cool part about that, Clint. When a team, almost always, and this is essentially a truism in the NFL, but when a team extends a guy during the season, guess what? Is there anybody else bidding for his services? No. Is there a bidding war? No. Are there a million calls with agent to other teams? No. So what that means is you get a team-friendly deal. The player gets a long-term deal, which is what all ball players want. Bunch of millions, bunch of guaranteed money. What the team wants is a team-friendly deal. They want a little haircut, like the one I got last week. They want a little discount, right? So if you sign Roby mid-season, you are going to get him at below the rate that he would when he's an unrestricted free agent on the market with 7, 8, 9 teams calling his agent and blowing him up, right? So it makes sense, if the consistency is there, just go ahead and lock the guy up midseason, because you're going to get a little bargain.
I need to see 8 games from Bradley Roby. If I see 8 games, man, of what I've seen to this point, I'm locking that dude up. And look, it's an insurance policy for Jonathan Joseph. You don't know what he's going to do. He's year 14 in.
Mm-hmm. Final year of his deal.
You may still at year's end need another corner, but at the end of the day, you don't want to get caught at the end of the year with two needs at corner and mm-hmm. everybody negotiating with the one guy that's proven to be a good player for you. So I would just keep your eyes open, Houston, to that fact that this guy's playing well enough to this point. And he's coming along, and if he keeps balling like he's doing right now, mid-season, this could be your first big mid-season extension that may or may not be expected because he's a one-year guy.
So Aaron Colvin's a Redskin. Bradley Roby is the new slot corner. And Lonnie Johnson, lot of time outside. I want you to hear what Bill O'Brien said today about Lonnie Johnson, and then I want you to dive in, Clint. And when you hear this, Bill O'Brien definitely is not trying to gas up his rookie cornerback.
Lonnie played a decent game. I mean, there were a couple things, obviously, like I just said to John, that we all have to work hard, and Lonnie will work hard to improve on certain things. But for his first, you know, real action out there on defense, I thought he did some good things.
I think it speaks volumes that they felt comfortable enough to do it, because guess what, Trick? Right out of the box, they go man-to-man coverage to a trips formation, and there ain't no doubt about it, it was man-to-man coverage. You throw your second-round draft pick out there after everything that went down after week one, and the first play of the game, you go man-to-man coverage and feel awfully good about it. And so, to me, the statement was made initially out of the gate was, they believe that this young fella can play. Obviously, they wouldn't have drafted him in the second round, but they believe that he's ready. And in all the entire game, I think it speaks volumes for the fact that he never took the bait on a double move. He never got taken advantage of down the field for a big play. They never targeted him in third downs or fourth down situations. I'm not saying that he didn't give up a catch here or there or wasn't covering a guy that made a play. It was never obvious. Like you see, sometimes there's a duck on a pond, they go at him. It was never one of those. This young fella I thought he played a great game for his first outing, but I think the message that's important is Romeo Crennel and Bill O'Brien's confidence in their second round draft pick and the confidence in throwing him out there in a game where they played a lot of man. This wasn't the New Orleans game where they were going to drop 7 and 8 into coverage. They were going to load the box to take Leonard Fournette completely out of the game. They were going to roll in some coverages and bail into some coverages, sure, like they always do to confuse the young quarterback. But for the most part, there was a lot of opportunity for Jacksonville to take advantage of a player if they didn't think he was up to snuff, and they didn't do it. And so I don't want to get too excited about him, but the combination of Lonnie Johnson, Bradley Roby, and Jonathan Joseph as your cover guys on this defense is pretty solid.
They did a terrific job, I thought. Lonnie Johnson had a big pass defense on DJ Chark late in that game. Just came over and knocked the ball away and got a PD in the stat book. Let's move on to the offensive line because, you know, as Seth Payne and I were doing the pregame show, and I want all you guys to listen to Sean Pendergast and my man Clint on the postgame show, me and Seth Payne have Texans Countdown, the Texans pregame show, 3 hours before every Texans game. And the news that came out right before we hit the air, boom, Roderick Johnson going to take over for Chantrell Henderson at right tackle, and Titus Howard, as we all thought, will be the left guard, with Sunil Calamete actually being inactive for the game. And Clint, look, I'm gonna have you unpack it individually. I'm going to give you some broad stats. The offensive line gave up 6 sacks and 11 quarterback hits against the New Orleans Saints. Those numbers improved. They gave up 4 sacks and 8 quarterback hits against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Incremental improvement. What did, you know, Titus Howard and Roderick Johnson have to do with that improvement?
Well, I mean, I think just it's a much more solid lineup offensively when you talk about those 5 guys right to left. You got a much more solid group. I think the ceiling is much higher with Titus Howard on the field than it is with Sunil Calamete on the field. It's just brutally honest is that Titus Howard is physically capable of things that Calamete is just not capable of.
Like that athletic fumble recovery? Did you like that?
The athletic fumble recovery?
By
no,
Titus
Rick,
Howard.
That has nothing to do with what I'm talking about.
Okay, go on.
I mean, I know what you're talking about, but no, that has nothing to do with what I'm talking about.
I was impressed with that fumble recovery. Back to our story, Clint.
I'm sure. I'm glad that
ladies
stood
out for you.
Ladies and
gentlemen, Clint Stoerner.
just the ability to, again, if it's not a top-tier defensive tackle lined up across from Titus Howard, I feel pretty good about his ability to hold his ground and not give up 3 or 4 yards and be in the quarterback's lap. I feel good about his ability to shuffle, stay wide, keep his anchor dropped, and handle a rush, a guy shooting a gap to his right or left, where Calamete, he may get the job done, but it's a lot noisier, it's a lot more difficult. There's legs and arms flying everywhere to get it accomplished. And those things matter when you're talking about a quarterback's vision and what's going on around a quarterback. Those things matter. Titus Howard being back in this lineup quiets things around that quarterback. And so look, Roderick Johnson bouncing from left to right. I don't know if he's going to be the right tackle. I don't know if he's the answer. I can't wait to get Wade in on Thursday to talk more about that. But I know, I believe it was an upgrade from Henderson. And I believe that that's another guy that has made himself some money in this league. when you can swing from left to right and be a factor and be depth at both positions at the very least, then you've made yourself some money in this league and you got some staying power. So I'm anxious again, man, for this team to just get the five starters across the board healthy and practicing together. I don't give a damn if it's walkthroughs. Just when the coach goes, hey, give me my starting offensive line, I need to see Tunzel, Howard, Martin, Fulton, and Roderick Johnson. Those are your five. Nobody in the building, the offense, like up till today or up till this week, they go, give me my starting five. The offense looks around and goes, well, who did y'all read the board? Who's starting this week, right? No, now it's everybody in Houston knows you're starting five. Those guys go to practice every day. They walk together. They talk together. They watch film together. They communicate. They play ball. They block every scheme that's out there. They talk about every scheme, and they speak the same language. And this offense will consistently get better. Deshaun's going to get hit. I'm tired of looking at sack numbers after a game and going, well, another year, offensive line. So Deshaun Watson's going to hold the ball. I've come to terms with that. He is going to hold the ball at inopportune times, and he's going to take hits. And so, yeah, they got to keep working to get better. And I think as a collective effort between the play caller, the quarterback, and the offensive line, you can't look up at the end of the season and have 62 quarterback sacks. I think that's probably not part of a winning when you're talking about beating New Orleans and beating Kansas City and beating these top teams in the league. That's probably not a good equation. It's probably not a good formula to use if you're going to win those caliber games. But a lot of it's on Deshaun Watson for holding the rock.
So I love the aggressive move once again. I mean, Aaron Colvin had a terrible, you know, game against the New Orleans Saints the next day. Bye-bye. They show him the door. Chantrell Henderson gives up at least two sacks to the New Orleans Saints. He and the offensive line in general just looked unprofessional in that game. They looked so much more professional yesterday, and I get it.
And that front was better overall yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that defense, even with that Ngakoue out, I think that front was still, I mean, I don't know about better, but when you talk about just the ability to get after the quarterback and be nasty, the ability for the front seven to go, let's eat, we're going to play man-to-man or even cover three. You hear Coach Bill O'Brien talked about they played a lot of cover three, and they closed the middle of the field, which means they played three or one a lot, which means they added a safety to the box or an extra defender to the box when possible. So they closed the middle of the field, safety in the middle of the field. It was either three or one, extra defender in the box, and their whole game plan was go eat. Go eat up front. New Orleans, that's not always their game plan. They don't feel that comfortable about their secondary and their cover guys to just go, hey, y'all unleash the beast, go eat. I mean, they'll do some of that, but not the way that Jacksonville does. Jacksonville goes, we got the best in the league. The front, just go get after the quarterback and stop the run. And so yesterday was a much steeper hill that this offensive line had to climb, and they did a better job than they did the week before.
No question about a clear improvement and a win. A win that felt very good. It's a Reaction Monday presented by Coors Light. We're Clint and Kamla on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. And there's a trend picking up steam in the National Football League, and that is clock management assistance to help the head coach with stuff like the end of the first half yesterday. We'll dive into that. Does Bill O'Brien need to hire a clock management assistant? That's next on Clint and Kamla.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.